from WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
You know, friends, like so many of you, I was scarred by tequila at a young age. And, you know, back then, tequila was a pretty crappy beverage. Now, there's a lot of good tequilas out there, and I feel like I'm missing out. I still have a hard time drinking them. So I want to redeem myself in the way that tequila has been redeemed. I want to overcome my aversion and learn to appreciate good tequila. And that's my mission here today on The Sporkful with the help of a tequila expert. Stay tuned. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we're about to challenge your assumptions about consumption and drop a sporkful of knowledge on you. Because we're obsessively compulsive about eating more awesomely, and because if history has taught us anything, it's that the hosts of food shows need a lot of catchphrases. Let's go ahead and get right into today's topic for mastication and rumination, which is tequila. My guest today for this show is Alana Edelstein. Now, she played a crucial role in the development of Patron, which was really the first high-end tequila. She was the, I think the term she uses in her book is life partner, of a guy named Martin Crowley. Martin Crowley is one of the co-founders of Patron, and he and Alana were together for, I believe, 13 years, 12 of which Alana describes as pure bliss, and he was, she says, the love of her life. The relationship had an unfortunate ending, an unpleasant ending, and Martin has since passed away. I should also mention that Alana no longer has any affiliation with the Patron company, but she's written a book called The Patron Way, and we had a great time. I hung out with her for a while. We talked about the history of Patron, the history of tequila, and had a tequila tasting, and she taught me a ton. It was a lot of fun, and here's the tape. I'm here at the Algonquin Hotel with Alana Edelstein. Her new book is The Patron Way, the untold inside story of the world's most successful tequila. Hi, Alana.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for being here. So you and I have something in common, which is that we both had a really catastrophic experience with tequila at a very young age. Can you tell me about your catastrophic experience with tequila at a young age?
I absolutely can, and I will interject that it's not just you and me, it's millions of people, I came to find out. Mine probably was exactly like yours. I don't remember it clearly. That's how sick I was. So, I couldn't go near the smell of tequila. It would cause me to gag. So, probably exactly like yours.
Well, it's funny because this was the weird thing about my bad experience with tequila, and this should serve as a cautionary tale to all the youngsters out there, but it was like the first liquor that I drank in high school when I was learning to drink, and I would show up at a party and do 5 shots of tequila with salt and lemon and a lime and thought that it was amazing. I thought, it almost feel like it gave me special powers. I took one fateful shot of tequila from a bottle of tequila that had been sitting in the trunk of a car in the summertime. And it was not just room temperature, it was warm. With no salt, no chaser, no mixer, no nothing. And I wasn't even, I hardly had anything to drink at that point. And it was so disgusting that I threw up on the spot. And literally, I went with my family to Mexico like 7 or 8 years later when I was in my 20s. And my parents were like, let's try all the nice tequilas, let's experiment. And I was like, keep it away from me. How many years went by between the time you were scarred and the time you got back into tequila?
I would have to say a good 15, 20 years. And I probably would be just like you. I probably still wouldn't have tasted it. But Martin was pretty convincing and very enthusiastic. And it was, you know, catchy. So he got me. I would not have done it under any other circumstance. So, but I'm glad I did. And we're going to make you glad that you did, too.
That's right. I'm excited about that. For me, it was about 15 years also. And I mean, just in the last couple of years, I've been able to start to enjoy tequila again. But I've just dipped a toe in, and I want to learn to enjoy and appreciate tequila because there are now a lot of good ones out there. And a lot, I want you to help me with that. Okay.
I will love it. I look forward to it.
But first, let's talk about how tequila made this journey to become this high-end liquor right there alongside bourbons and vodkas. So Patron was really the first tequila to be sold in the U.S. as a premium tequila. And a lot of your book is about the branding and the marketing of Patron. Can you pick out 2 or 3 of the most important things that you did along the way that you thought really made the biggest difference in making that happen?
We had to educate from zero for people not to slam it and shoot it back and have it with salt and lime. we had to educate the entire population to sip tequila. It just was not a concept at that time. So we certainly aimed at not cutting corners and not doing anything less than just because it cost less. So that's, you know, across the board, I will say that we stayed true to our vision, which was high-end, top shelf.
I know you say in the book that you made a calculated risk setting the price at a certain, at a high price point. Tell me about the discussions you had about how much it should cost. What were the factors that you were weighing?
There was no discussion. That was Martin's decision. His words were, you know, people will always find money for their highs. And it was something you drank to get drunk. It was nothing that you drank because you liked the taste of it. And no one ever associated a high. They only associated flat out drunk. And we needed to separate from that. And that was how we did it.
So am I right that it was part of the calculation was that if you charge more for it, people will assume it must be of a higher quality?
Exactly. It's always assumed that something is. You're assuming you get what you pay for. And I sure as hell hope people felt that with Patron.
One thing that I think is interesting, I remember when vodkas were all the rage a few years ago and Ketel One and Grey Goose and all of these premium vodkas came on the market around the same time. Around that time, there were studies that showed that, I remember seeing a lot of studies that a lot of the people who were paying more for those premium vodkas couldn't tell the difference between what they were buying and a cheaper alternative. And I know that from the branding and marketing standpoint, that's like a success story. But when I hear that people are paying extra for a product and they can't tell the difference between that product and the cheaper alternative, it makes me wonder whether those people are suckers. Are those people suckers?
You know what? I don't ever look at the population, the people, to be idiots. And I think you'd be ill-advised in any kind of marketing to do that. You cannot treat people like they're idiots. They know. And sometimes, you know, it's real and sometimes it's imagined. You know, sometimes even if it does taste the same to a qualified palate, to someone it isn't, and they've paid more and it tastes different to them, it doesn't matter if it's real or imagined. That's their experience of it. But I will tell you with Patron, because you've read the book and you know the story, that we started off going to our local restaurants and bars at 5 o'clock every night with a bottle of Patron and telling them to get, you know, pour themselves a shot of whatever the best tequila was. And without fail, 100% of the time, they would taste their best tequila and they'd taste Patron and they'd go, wow. They didn't know the price point at that point. I don't think we did, actually.
So it's a combination of quality and good marketing.
And a great high.
And I want to ask you about that high, because I think that's interesting. What's interesting that you call it a high. It's also interesting to me because this is one of the reasons why I want to get back into drinking tequila, because I remember that part of it. And I now, most of my liquor drinking is in the whiskey, bourbon, scotch area. And I know that my sixth grade health teacher told me that alcohol is a depressant. But I think that, while that may be true, that it may make you kind of sleepy in a general sense, I think that the whiskey, bourbon family of liquor and tequila are the two alcohols that I would put in a different category, that they are not depressants, that they are stimulants.
I agree.
Tell me about the tequila buzz.
Well, you've basically said it all, you know, and it is a high. I don't know how to identify the difference between a high and a drunk. All I can say is try both. You'll remember one better than the other.
Okay, so we've covered the Patron story. Now, you helped elevate tequila in America, its place in the American drinkosphere. Now it's time for you to help me. Tell me, Alana, what do we have on the tequila menu?
What we have here is I've asked for, we have brandy snifters, which is really the nicest way to taste tequila because, as you know, the shape of the glass, it captures the aroma and you can swirl it and do what you need to do. So we're going to taste 5 separate tequilas. And first I'd like you to taste them just on their own. And then after that, we're going to put just 1 cube of ice in each again. And you'll see it brings out a different flavor.
That's usually how I do my bourbon, 1 ice cube.
Really? So there you go. We are catering just to you.
That's very nice of you. Thank you.
I believe we're going to start with the lowest price point, which is the Patron Silver. And the difference between the three regulars is Silver, Añejo, and Reposado. Not in that order. Silver, they're made exactly the same. Silver, as it comes out of the copper pot still, it's bottled. Reposado, same tequila, when it comes out, it goes into oak barrels and it's aged for 4 to 6 months. The Añejo is, again, aged longer, usually a year. Tequila doesn't get better after about 2 years.
So, Alana, we have here sampler number one. We have this as the standard issue bottom level, not to insult it.
Although it's considered the low end, I only drink this one. I actually don't prefer the oak flavor, which is what happens when they get aged.
So you don't, you even if you weren't still getting an occasional free case from the Patron company, you would not spend the extra money for the Añejo or the Reposado?
I'm asked which cases I want, so I get the silver, yeah.
Okay, Alana, I'm going to let you pour, and I remind you that my wife has just had a baby 4 days before we tape this. Now, I guess, I don't know if that means that you should be pouring me bigger pours or smaller pours, since I'm not likely to get so much sleep tonight, but...
I'm going to pour you. You can drink as much as you want.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Just like you do with wine, where you do this, you swirl it. Swirl it a few times because it'll capture and open up the aroma or the nose, as they say, and then smell it first. And you'll notice the non-100% agave tequilas will catch you in the throat. There's that burn right in the nose. You know, this doesn't have that. You can smell the agave.
It smells sweet.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Now, when you take a sip, take a small sip, you'll wet your lips, but keep it in your mouth, just like wine. Keep it in your mouth for a second before you swallow it. Go for it.
Okay, here goes. It's nice. It is very smooth.
Yeah.
I'm going to have one more sip.
Me too. Can you feel in the back of your mouth, it just opens up all the taste buds.
I understand the sensation you're talking about. I did feel a little bit of a burn in the back of my throat, but I will say that I did not have any of those flashbacks to that hot trunk in suburban New Jersey, which is often what happens. I would literally, like, there was a period I would smell tequila and I would picture the trunk of a car. That was how close the relationship was. And I've had this since I've been a few minutes, and until I just made a point of saying that, I had not thought about the trunk of a car. And now tell me, I remember when I was on that trip with my family in Mexico, and they were all drinking tequila without me because I was still scarred, there was a type of a sort of tomato juice thing, a chaser that was served with some of the tequilas. What is that, and what are your thoughts on it?
God, I'm so happy you asked me that, because I'd forgotten about that. The sangrita, and I have an amazing recipe, actually. If you want one, I'll send it to you.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. And it's a sort of tomato juice base. It's not a V8, it's more tomato, but it's spicy, it's got a bit of a kick, but it's also sweet. And you're not shooting it. You're taking a sip of tequila, you keep the tequila in your mouth, and you take a sip of the sangrita and you swallow it together. So it mixes in your mouth. It's a fabulous way to drink tequila. That's how they drink it in Mexico.
Did you guys ever attempt to make that part of the experience in the U.S., and how did that go?
We did. That's why I have the recipe. But I, you know, it's not proprietary, because it didn't ever come to be. And the reason was the shelf life. It has such a short shelf life that it was just prohibitive for us to. We weren't in that business of doing things that needed to be kept cold and stuff like that.
Okay, so we have the Patron now. The ice has had a minute or two to melt in.
Is yours melted?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not disappeared. There's still a little bit in there.
You see now, on your nose is different.
It does. It takes it's a little bit less sharp.
Yeah.
Well, I can get used to that.
Yeah. You see what happens? It just smooths it right out.
When you're drinking tequila at home, do you add a little ice or no?
Sorry to say, I don't drink it up straight. I'm a sugarholic. I have to tell you that up front. I make Ilana margaritas. They are, it's a shot of salt.
You should change the name to Ilana Ritas.
I love you. I like that.
See, you're not the only one who knows a little thing about branding here, Alana. All right.
So what it is, it's a shot of silver, Patron. It's a shot of their Citrange, which is an orange liqueur similar to Cointreau. And then you fill up a tall glass with Squirt. Squirt is a grapefruit soda. We always used to wonder why you go to bars and they make their margaritas so tangy. You know, you're in the business of selling more drinks, and you can't drink more than one when your whole mouth just turns inside out. So my Ilana Ritas, that's what I drink at home because, you know, I drink fast.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because the margarita has been my re-entry point into tequila, but I wasn't sure what your take on it would be, because there's obviously a lot of derision directed at the margarita, and rightfully so, to a point, because a lot of them are awful. They come out of these slushy machines, and they're disgusting. Like you said, too much sour mix, or it's like a Slurpee from 7-Eleven with tequila inside. But a good, really good margarita with simple ingredients is a wonderful thing.
Yes, and what I'm talking about, you can make it home, because no one has sweet and sour, and sweet and sour is not sweet and sour. It's sour, sour, sour.
And not only does you make a great point, it puckers your lips, and you cannot drink many drinks with sour mix in them at once, but it gives you heartburn, too.
It gives you heartburn.
It gives me heartburn, all right. But speaking of margaritas, there was a recipe in the Mario Batali does this thing in the New York Times Magazine. Each week he has like what I'm drinking now, and he did rhubarb margaritas for Cinco de Mayo. And I saw rhubarb at the farmer's market the other day, and I knew we were going to be speaking, and I bought rhubarb and brought it home and made rhubarb margaritas.
How did you make it?
You stew the rhubarb in equal parts sugar and water, simple syrup, stew it for about 20 minutes, then blend the rhubarb so it becomes like a thick rhubarb puree, and it's just that, lime juice, and tequila, and a splash of Grand Marnier.
Ooh, I want some of that.
So should we move on to the next tequila? Innocente. This is not Patron?
It's not Patron, but it is also their silver, their unaged.
So this one is not a Patron tequila, and this is one that you yourself have not had, is that right?
I have not heard of this before, so I'm looking forward to it.
This tequila Innocente, this bottle is $46. Okay.
So then it is compared to the one that we just tried.
All right, well let's try some together. I'll be curious to hear your thoughts. Yeah, this one to me seemed like more burn, less flavor.
We are high-fiving. It is. I was wanting to hear it from you, though, because I don't want it to sound like I'm a snob. No, it did. You could actually feel the burn on the front of your tongue before it even got to the back of your mouth.
Yeah, this one's got a little bit of trunk of the car in there.
Let me get that out of your hand. Yeah.
That's my rating. That's how I rate tequilas.
Oh.
I don't like how many trunks. The more trunks it gets, the worse it is. So now we're pouring tequila. This is Patron Añejo. Is that right?
That's right. This is the aged one.
And this one has a little bit of a brown tinge, and that's because it's been aged in oak barrels.
I'd like to correct you and say it's a gold tinge, and that is because it's aged in French oak barrels. So that's where it's getting, you'll see. There'll be an oaky taste and flavor to it. You didn't smell.
Oh, sorry. Here, I'm smelling. I didn't taste it yet. I'm smelling now. Ooh.
There's almost a caramel in the flavor in the smell flavor.
It's like a cologne that a man who chops down trees would wear.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Well, like the brawny, like the guy in the paper towel.
Perhaps if he's cute and gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about like a hunky guy. He's got like a beard, and he's wearing a plaid shirt. He's very muscular. He works outdoors. He's a man's man, and he drinks tequila at the end of the night. Like a Mexican tree chopper.
Yep. I like the image.
All right, should we drink it?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, interesting. Definitely can taste the smoke.
You can taste the smoke. And I actually, that's what I don't prefer.
Yeah, so far I'm with you. I like the silver the best, yeah. So, Ilana, which one are we drinking now?
Well, we sort of went a little out of order. This is the Reposado. So this is between the first two Patron and the first two Patron ones that you had. We've had this the unaged, and then we've had the fully aged. This is the in-between. So the price points are obviously matched. But again, between the unaged and the aged, there's probably, depending where you're buying, a $2 to $4 spread. It's not a major difference in price. I love this one. I really do. I haven't tasted it in a long time because I just stick with silver, but it's got a sweet aftertaste. Do you taste that?
I do. I think that this one, I like this one better than the Añejo. because that one, because smoky smoke can also be kind of sharp, and I think that one is a little bit sharp in the smokiness. I think that the silver, I'm still kind of with you. I mean, that one is sort of a little bit more floral, and this one's got a little bit more of a burn to it, but it's more a more subtle oaky smoky situation than the full fledged Añejo.
You and I, Dan, have a lot more in common than we realize, because I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I'm surprised. You know what happens? You stop thinking about things and you just go to what you like all the time. And I haven't tasted Reposado in probably 4 or 5 years, possibly. And I have to say, I'm loving it now.
You're going to start getting some of these now mixed in with your silvers.
I'm going to. They're just an extra case I'll get.
So I said that, you know, the smell of tequila, the taste makes me think of that car trunk in New Jersey. I would say that the first tequila we had, the Patron Silver, I would give 0 car trunks, which is the best possible rating. The Innocente that we had, that one was pretty car trunky for me. If 5 is like full-fledged senior prom, I would give that one 3.5. I think that the Añejo, that one I would give... Well, let's say 1.5 car trunks for the Añejo, 1 car trunk for the Reposado.
Okay, but I'm going to divert your attention, because this is something we should speak about. And that I've already put the ice into this Reposado, and these are small cubes, so we need to discuss that.
Yes.
They're melting so fast.
The ice is melting fast. These are small ice cubes, and this is an issue that has been covered here on the Sporkful before, and it is a crucial one. Surface area to volume ratio and melting rate of ice cubes. Alana, what are your thoughts?
I'm shocked that actually you've done a show on this, because, you know, anyone else I talk to, they think I'm completely crazy, but it's true.
Who are you hanging out with?
They certainly aren't ice experts. Yeah. I can't even say it. But you can see what happens. It melts too fast and then it waters it down. You don't want that.
What's up next, Alana?
It's the coffee tequila. It's called Patron XO Cafe. And this, when we started with it, the only thing that was like it on the market, which wasn't tequila, of course, was Bailey's, Irish Cream, those kind of things. But those aren't, you know, they weren't full alcohol. They did not have the proof that this does. This is 70 proof. Sorry, I forgot.
So this is the real stuff. Right, I see. Right. Kahlua and Bailey's, Kahlua, right. Which, you know, are nice mixers and certainly have their place, I think. To me, I drink those drinks. Well, Bailey's is a little much, but like Kahlua, I will drink some Kahlua when I want caffeine and a moderate amount of liquor. Whereas this is more like when you want liquor and a moderate amount of caffeine.
You got that. Kahlua is 35 proof. This is 70 proof, so it's double. This is a real drink. And I'll tell you that across the board, when I open a bottle of XO Cafe, it's gone. Within minutes, it's gone. If there's 3 people there or 10. You know, so I'm surprised that it's not as well known, because it's just amazing things you can do with this. Drink, cook. I mean, I make this adult dessert that you would paint on someone and lick off, I promise you.
Tell me about it.
I call it the, what do I call it?
I don't know what you call it, but you should start calling it the paint on someone and lick it off them dessert.
That's the new name. Okay. I used to call it, until now, I called it the naughty adult freeze. And what it is you take a handful of coffee beans, put them in the grinder, or put them in a blender, blend them up until they coarse, fill it up with coffee ice cream, and then you pour in some XO Cafe, and you beat it up like it's the texture of a milkshake. And I pour them in champagne glass and put some crushed nutmeg on top. And people are licking, you see their tongues going in the glass to lick it out. That's how.
Wow.
It's fabulous.
I'm excited about this, because I do love myself some coffee.
This one's actually better with the ice, because it's pretty thick otherwise, but start without ice.
You're going to smell it. We've stirred it. It smells a little chocolatey.
It does, doesn't it? Sorry. My mouth's full of it.
You already went and started drinking it a lot. You didn't wait for me.
Well, yeah, I just guess I didn't smell it that time.
This is sweetened, right? There's some sugar in here or something sweet.
Yes, there is.
This is like big boy Kahlua, really, basically. It's sort of like, you know, when you're not messing around anymore. Okay, now you're adding a lot of ice. Okay.
Cheers.
All right. That's dessert right there.
This you can drink all night. You can see why the bottle's gone when you open it.
That's really nice. I think I'm gonna sit back just a little bit here.
I will send you a paintbrush tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure that in between dealing with my 2.5-year-old and my 4-day-old, my wife will be very excited to be painted with tequila. I'm sure that's really high on her to-do list right now. That is nice.
It is so yummy.
Oh my god, I could take care of like 5 kids now. I'm ready. How many kids do you want me to raise? I'll raise all of them.
Oh, raise, not make.
Well, both, yeah. Well, I already made them. Now I got to raise them. Caffeine should be in more alcoholic beverages.
I agree. Totally. I totally agree.
Yeah, I can see this being really nice with ice cream as well. You could do a float. Throw a scoop of vanilla ice cream here with the Coke and the coffee tequila. So this coffee tequila, I want to give a rating of not only 0 car trunks, but maybe -1. Car trunks, which is even better than 0 in this faulty rating system that I've devised on the spur of the moment, in the sense that this, because it's caffeinated, it's giving me energy and it makes me want to return to that car trunk, to go back and conquer it. And so that's why it's -1 car trunks.
And more importantly, makes your hand want to return to the glass all the time.
I know, I keep doing that. I keep just picking it up. I'm like, what am I doing? Oh, I'm drinking more. Oops. Yeah.
I'm watching you. I'm loving it.
All right, well, Alana Edelstein, author of The Patron Way, The Untold Inside Story of the World's Most Successful Tequila, we have accomplished our mission here today. I feel like I have made the same journey the tequila has made, and it's been so interesting learning about tequila from you. I was a little skeptical, to be honest, coming in, that you'd be a little bit of a Patron homer. Homer is an American, the American term, like, it's your home team. And you still have loyalty to Patron. And so that's why I was excited to taste at least one of the ones we tasted that was not Patron. Just something to, not that I don't believe you, but just to have some other basis for comparison. But I was totally 100% in agreement with you that the best tequila, not counting the flavored ones, because those are in a separate category to me, of the straight-up tequilas, the best one was the Patron Silver, which is the least expensive of the 3 Patrons we tried, was the best one. And so the best one, including the one that was not a Patron. So, and I definitely experienced the same things you experienced. So I think that that was also a lot of fun. So thank you for that.
No, I thank you, really. This has been a fabulous experience. And for the record, I'm going to hug you now. It must be all these Patrons we've tasted.
Right. Thank you. Let the audio record reflect that we just hugged. All right, Alana, thank you so much.
Dan, it's been just fabulous. Thank you.
So my thanks to Alana. That was a ton of fun. Also let you guys know that I will be posting Alana's sangrita recipe at sporkful.com. I'll also link to that rhubarb margarita recipe from Mario Battaglia that I referenced in the show. So check all that out at sporkful.com. One more very exciting announcement, and that is that in the next episode of The Sporkful, in 2 weeks, my guest will be the one and only Weird Al Yankovic, the man behind Eat It and Fat, The White Stuff, Taco Grande, I Love Rocky Road, and so many other beloved songs about food will be my guest in person on The Sporkful in 2 weeks. So be sure that you don't miss that episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. See you in 2 weeks. Until then, I'm Dan Pashman, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.